Hey guys, what's going on? This is episode 20 of the BFG podcast. I am here with Tyler.
Hey.
Because I don't have any fancy names to call you right now. So we're filming this back to back for the second time. So this is the fourth total time that we've tried to do these, I want to say. Yeah, fourth total time we're trying to do this.
Mm-hmm.
The first time, as we mentioned in our last video, we recorded and we were muted or something. But we're here, we made sure everything works. So we are filming our top 10 movies now of 2018.
Yes.
So I'm just going to jump right into it since you opened up last time.
All right.
If that's all right. So my number 10 movie is a recent one, is Bumblebee.
Yeah.
And I loved this movie. I got a huge kick out of it. And maybe it's because that even going in, even with the reviews that were coming out, I didn't set my expectations super high for it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because some of the other ones were fantastic by any means, but this one is a really good story to really start out to reboot the franchise, and you're focusing on just one Transformer, obviously Bumblebee, coming down to Earth, and sets up for sequels, sets up for different variations of what could very well happen with everyone coming to Earth, the Autobots and Decepticons, and I really got a kick out of it. I enjoyed it from beginning to end. I thought the acting was very good.
Yeah.
I thought that it all of the Cybertron looked great with the views that were there. The Transformers themselves, all of them looked great. You know, Bumblebee looked great. Optimus looked great. Everybody looked great in this movie. And I think they're finally onto something to actually get it right.
Yeah, and I think just I know we haven't posted a separate video for this, so just kind of as like a mini review. It's like it is. It's a really good movie. Definitely way better than anything Michael Bay put out for Transformers. The acting is surprisingly good, considering, like, I know John Cena has kind of made his break now as like an action star kind of, and even like comedies and things he's been doing. And I've never really gone to see like a John Cena movie or a Dwayne Johnson movie or anything for them necessarily. Because I've never really had supreme confidence in their acting abilities. But, I mean, he was good. I liked his acting, and Hailee Steinfeld, obviously, is the best.
Yes.
I have yet to be disappointed in her, at least. I haven't always been a huge fan of, like, her movies. I've seen some really good ones, and I've seen some that I haven't been as big a fan of. But I've always at least been impressed with her acting. My gripe with this one was that it felt like kind of like the 80s kid adventures in all the right ways.
Yeah.
It reminded me of like E.T. and like the John Hughes comedies and stuff like that. But it also kind of fell into the cliche a little bit,
mm-hmm.
where Hailee Steinfeld's character, her name is Charlie, but she's like the huge tomboy that doesn't want to accept her new dad. You know, she's got kind of that like angsty teenager thing going on, and all she does is complain that her parents don't love her because they won't get her a car and stuff like that. And it just, it felt a little bit like, it almost felt a little bit too much like the 80s movies sometimes. I feel like we've kind of matured a little bit in the way we portray certain emotions or certain characteristics in movies, and this one didn't try to. It kind of really embraced that kind of like 70s and 80s angsty teen vibe, which I think in a lot of ways, like I said, I think that's really good. I think it reminded me of like those kinds of movies in a lot of good ways, but I think there were certain parts too where it was almost like I rolled my eyes a little bit, you know?
I think for me is that I actually really enjoyed that part of it, considering, you know, Transformers did come out in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
and they were trying to stay true to form, or at least give it a true to form type of meaning, so I didn't mind it as much,
yeah.
and I really got a kick out of it, just in general, so
okay.
that's why I'm keeping it as my number 10. So, I liked it for the aspects that maybe you thought were a little too much.
I enjoyed this movie a lot, and I'm glad it's on your list,
yes.
because I liked it enough that I'm glad it's represented here, even though it didn't make my list.
Right.
Oh, and also the music is
pretty
great.
Absolutely.
It's like, it's a who's who of like, maybe mid-80s
yes.
Rock. So, you know, you've got like the Smiths and Duran Duran and Bon Jovi and like all these people represented in there. So that was really cool too. I like the soundtrack a lot.
Absolutely.
All right, so my number 10 is A Quiet Place, which is the exact opposite. I didn't love the soundtrack to this one because there wasn't really much of a soundtrack. It was a very quiet movie. And I bought popcorn for this movie. And I was the obnoxious one eating popcorn while everyone was giving me looks because the movie was so quiet. And, but all that aside, it's a really, really good, like, monster movie that portrays its monsters in less of, like, a traditional monster movie way and more in, like, a... It's more about the family and how they're dealing with this fallout that they're in rather than dealing so much with the monsters themselves. Right. And I liked that a lot. Kind of like the human qualities and the way that these people deal with their lives now rather than focusing on, you know, showing these big monsters all the time. So the acting is just top notch. John Krasinski and Emily Blunt are just the best. The kids were really good. The you know, sometimes child acting in movies can be a little bit, not anything against, you know, child actors, but, you know, obviously at that age, they're still developing their skills and still kind of learning.
Right.
And I felt like the kids were really good. The adults were really good. It was thrilling. Not necessarily like a, you know, jump scares everywhere, like horror movie kind of way, but it was a really suspenseful film, and I liked that a lot about it.
Okay.
Just a really well-made thriller that focused more on the family than the scary stuff.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to sit down and watch this one yet, but it's definitely on my list of things to see this year, because I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah.
Just in general. So I'm glad it's represented on your list, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so my number 9, and I could be biased again because of how much I love the franchise, is Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Loved, obviously, the games. I've always talked about that. The movie, not fantastic, but again, what video game movies are. But this one actually at least tried and was better than the other Tomb Raider movies.
It tried. The other video game movie is just like,
yeah, whatever.
Let's not really try.
Let's not try. Let's just make money based off a name alone and throw a big name actress in there. But this one actually at least gave me something to really sit down and enjoy from start to end. And again, I'm just a big fan of Tomb Raider in general, so I got more of a kick out of this movie than maybe some other people did.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I, we saw this one together. I know you somewhat enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Here or there. And again, for me, I could be biased, but I really did enjoy this one. It's mm-hmm. definitely a good Redbox type of movie to sit down and watch if you're just looking for something a little bit different in general.
Yeah.
Because what's good about it is you don't really need to know the games to learn this movie, because I think the pacing was well done and explained what it needed to explain who the characters were and mm-hmm. what was going on.
Yeah.
So that's why this is number 9 on my list.
No, it's pretty good. I understand why you're a little bit more into it than I am, but I think it was, I'll give it the fact that it's probably one of the best video game movies I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to make my top 10, but I will say it's definitely up there as far as video game adaptations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my number 9 was Mary Poppins Returns, which is my second Emily Blunt movie in a row. I loved Mary Poppins Returns, not least of which because it's very much a tribute to Mary Poppins, to the point that like it even almost follows the beats of the first movie.
Okay.
The central conflict is different and the characters are different, but the music, a lot of the songs are like parallels to the older movies music, and the kind of coming around of the characters, you know, to the way she does things. And also I feel like it really captured the modern society.
Okay.
Where the original was more about these kids that kind of are immediately entranced by Mary Poppins and they're trying to convince their dad to kind of, you know, come back to his childhood self a little bit. Because everybody's seen Mary Poppins. You know kind of the idea of Mary Poppins.
Yes.
And the idea of, like, you know, the dad is just like the banker that wants, you know, he's all business all the time. And the kids and Mary Poppins are kind of slowly bringing him around and trying to teach him that it's okay to, you know, be a family man and, you know, have fun again and stuff like that, and ending with, you know, let's go fly a kite. And this one, the conflict is more about they've just lost their mother. And so this one's a little bit more bittersweet. But I feel like what I liked about that is that back then the sensitivities were more about, you know, that there was that conflict of, like, the financial slump and things like that.
Yeah.
And it fed into people's, like, fears and emotions at that time of what people and kids were going through. And I feel like this one did the same thing, where it follows kind of the same beats musically and story-wise. But the conflict in this one is about these children dealing with losing a parent and having to kind of grow up a little bit quickly because of that, taking on more responsibility and helping out their dad and stuff like that. And so Mary Poppins isn't just trying to teach the parent. She's also trying to help the kids learn to, you know, recapture their childhood. Okay. And I feel like it's really important for today, just like the original Mary Poppins was really important for when it came out. And it's very light, very whimsical, but it does a good job of capturing those emotions too. So that's my number 9.
Okay. Very good movie. I know it just recently came out. Mm-hmm. So if it's one that made an impact on you so soon, much like some of the video game stuff and, you know, Bumblebee did to me, that shows just how good that movie is.
Yeah. And I've already seen it again. I've seen it twice already.
Beautiful. All right. So my number 8 is going to be Ready Player One.
Yes.
And first and foremost, I'll just get this out of the way. Is it as good as the book? Not a chance. But much like how I talked about how Tomb Raider was a very, very, very good video game movie, this is a very good movie that's based off a book. And yeah. I thought the acting was superb. I thought the worlds looked great, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought everything about this really captured the magic of the book. Maybe it came out a little bit too late. You know, if it came out a year or two after the book does. I think the book, I don't remember exactly when the book came out.
It's been a little bit now.
It has been a little bit. So maybe this is a couple years too late, 2 or 3 years too late. However, still came out at a good time where the virtual reality is now really kicking in. Video games are obviously bigger than ever.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed this one, and I got a good kick out of it. I thought it was a really good one, and I wanted to make sure I put it on my list to give, you know, the author credit and give the movie credit, because it's honestly, it deserves to be on this list.
Yeah.
And definitely something I will watch again.
No, again, this one I didn't feel like was enough to make my top 10, but I'm really glad it made yours.
Because
I think it's a really solid film. I wish they had done a little bit more of a tribute to, like, the older stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the book focused more on, like, just how obsessed the guy was with, like, his past.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie kind of focused more on a little bit of the past, but also a lot of the present. And so, you know, there were references. There were references to, like, Iron Giant and stuff, but there were also references to, like, Overwatch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I kind of wish that it had stuck more to the stuff that the book did, because that played into my, like, nostalgia and childhood more. But at the same time, I understand why they did it, because adding in all that modern stuff was probably part of what got the audience hyped for it, was seeing all these characters that they know now in this movie on the big screen.
They had to really try to find that balance for the younger audience and for the older audience.
Yeah.
So.
But it was really good.
Absolutely.
All right. So my number 8 is Hereditary.
Okay.
Which, again, you know, I'm going to say more or less the same thing I said about A Quiet Place, which is this movie is very dark and very scary and sometimes very graphic. So I can't honestly recommend it to those of you with, like, sensitive stomachs or other sensitivities, but it's an excellent story about a family dealing with grief. It starts off just portraying this family, and then as it goes on, it shows just the dysfunction in this family and the way that grief and mourning and anger kind of devolves their family. And it's just, it's a story that's kind of hard to stomach, But it's told so well with such skill. The directing of it, the acting, this even like the, you know, some of the jump scares and stuff where just everything was executed so well. And it builds up to this absolutely bonkers ending that kind of takes a turn out of left field, but it's just, it's such an excellent film. Just the way it's made and the way it portrays this family, it really hasn't been matched this year except by A Quiet Place.
Okay.
So number 8 is Hereditary for me.
All right. I haven't seen that one. I didn't even know about it until you talked about it the last time. Mm-hmm. So seems like a very good type of movie. I mean, Quiet Place, I think, interests me a little bit more. But
yeah,
you never know. All right, so number 7 for me is going to be Deadpool 2.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, my list from here on out is going to be...
mostly superheroes?
Mostly superheroes in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So the one thing I think I agree with Ryan Reynolds on in this one is that it had a lot more action in it, which it made it a little more fast-paced than the first one. Mm-hmm. But Ryan Reynolds also said that if they do a Deadpool 3, which would be under Disney now... that they want to have that kind of lesser budget that the first one did just because they had to really work with what they had to put out a good movie, which did really well with the first one. And obviously Deadpool 2 took it and stepped it up a notch or two. Good mm-hmm. story to follow, good characters. You had two of Deadpool's biggest allies, emissaries, whatever you want to call them, in Cable and Domino, plus a slew of others.
Yeah.
And I think the one... perfect scene, which is not a spoiler anymore, is when he went to Professor's mansion and he's like, where are all the X-Men? Why don't I see you? And then you see one shot of, it was Cyclops closing the door of every X-Men there, except I don't think Hugh Jackman was there, unfortunately. But
he wasn't.
But everyone else was there, and that just ended it right there. So
yeah.
Could be something for Deadpool 3. Once Upon a Deadpool, obviously, don't really count because that was just them trying to make more money, which, you know, they did add some new things to, instead of just giving us a cut without any of the R-rated stuff and
yeah.
make it PG-13.
They did give it a whole new, like, really awesome framing device.
Yes.
And I absolutely loved that they used the Princess Bride framing device. That's it just shows kind of how clever the writers are for this series.
So we'll see what happens with Deadpool 3 if Disney wants to do it, which I think they will because, again, it's going to make money. And Ryan
yeah.
Reynolds is definitely down to do it, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But yeah, Deadpool 2 is my number 7 on this list.
All right. My number 7 is Solo.
Yep.
Which I was incredibly happy that I enjoyed this much because I really wanted it to be on this list because of how divisive it was when it was in theaters. You know, some people were saying that it was just the worst and that they couldn't believe they had done this to the Star Wars franchise. And I thought the exact opposite. I thought this was just a breath of fresh air in
right.
the Star Wars franchise. Not that it's bad. I love the Star Wars movies, but because the Star Wars movies, along with the Marvel movies, are becoming increasingly episodic where you have to keep up. You have to, you know, have these different, you know, you need to have seen the ones before and you need to kind of keep up with them to know what's going on and so on and so forth. And Solo didn't. Solo, I mean, you benefit from knowing like the Star Wars movies, but this was like just kind of a summer blockbuster in the way that you could sit down with a bucket of popcorn and enjoy it without really a lot of prior knowledge of Star Wars. And it was just, it almost reminded me more of Indiana Jones than the Star Wars franchise. And it just, in that way, it was thrilling, it was funny, it explained a lot of backstory about Han Solo. And it was just a really solid, just kind of adventure film.
Okay.
I don't have, you know, a whole lot to say about it besides the fact that it was fun and lighthearted. It didn't take itself too seriously and it didn't try too hard to be like canon, and I kind of loved it for that. I think I took the exact opposite of what some of the critics and things were saying and how, you know, that it shouldn't have been made. I'm saying I'm super glad that they made this. I think this was exactly the kind of the shot in the arm that the Star Wars spinoffs needed.
Okay. I mean, I've never sat down and watched this one yet, and, you know, obviously, talking to you, you hype it up. I've talked to some other hardcore Star Wars fans, and they're kind of like, ugh. For me, you know, I don't consider myself a hardcore fan by any means, but I think if I sat down and watched this one without, you know, and I've seen all the others, but not going in it as a super hardcore fan, that maybe I would too get a kick out of it. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely something that I should add to my list to sit down and watch. But I've got a few others that I need to see first, I think.
Yeah.
All right, so going on for me for number six is, surprise, surprise, another superhero movie is Ant-Man and the Wasp. So the only question I have about this one is where... what's going on with these guys while everybody else is busy fighting Thanos? Because the after credit scene kind of ties it in that they were essentially going on at the same time or right around the same time or just whatever.
And so, I mean, the core plot device of this movie is that he's on house arrest.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like...
but still, it's like you would think that if, like, you know, Nick Fury or someone needed him... he would find a way to get out of his house.
And even that...
just like, I mean, he did in this movie, but for a much, like, kind of a smaller stakes
yeah, thing. But then you also see, like, what, where was he, what's going on, and the news and whatnot, is they didn't start showing the news aspects of it again until the after credit scene.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but it's like, you know, if it could have played a little more, and shoot, I need to get to go help everybody else... but I've got this to deal with right now. But, you know, in the trailer for Endgame that we saw, Avengers Endgame, it kind of shows that something happened to... I don't want to spoil it for you, because, you know, it's been out for a few months. How he got out of the predicament he was in the end credit scene to get to Avengers Tower to see, hey, what's going on? I'm here to help. Mm-hmm. So, could play into it. Maybe we'll get some answers on that one, which... no, Marvel, I think we'll get at least a throwaway line or two to say this is where he was when this was going on.
Yeah.
So that's why that's my number... or number I said it was.
Six? Right.
Six, yes. So Tyler, you're number six.
It's a good screen here, too. If you're listening, you don't see it, but if you're watching this on YouTube, Solo and Ant-Man and the Wasp are both on screen right now, mm-hmm. and those are kind of both like your like, I guess, spin-offs. Ant-Man and the Wasp wasn't... It kind of took its own route while everyone else was dealing with Thanos a little bit. So this is... It's a good set right here. But anyway, it's kind of beside the point. Yeah. My number six is Deadpool 2.
No kidding.
Which we just talked about in length, so I don't have a whole lot more to add. You know, it's probably... the action could be a little bit much... some of the extended action scenes, it felt like they were just taking advantage of the fact that they had the budget to do action scenes. But I felt like the acting was great, the characters were great, the humor, like, it was just as funny. But I felt like it was. I don't think I would have cut out as much as they cut out for the PG-13 cut, because they did that for the rating. But I feel like they could have cut maybe a little bit of it, and it would have been just as effective, if not more effective. I think this one did feel maybe just a little bit bloated, but it was still, you know, it was hilarious and just a whole lot of fun. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I've already talked about it on my end, but I'm sure Deadpool 3 is going to come, and hopefully they'll go back to that smaller budget type of deal to really produce more. And they did leave room that a sequel could happen.
Yeah.
So it wasn't perfect by means, no, but it was still a very good sequel in general. Mm-hmm. So. All right, so my number five is going to be Black Panther. And this one grew on me because at first I didn't know where I wanted to throw it on my list. So I think having smack dab in the middle is going to be one of those that is stuck out really well.
Yeah.
And, you know, introduced a new character, which I don't... if people that didn't really read the comics, the first question was, before Sony agreed to play ball and put Spider-Man in the MCU, Black Panther could have filled in for that Spider-Man-esque role in a way, but it was more powerful having Spider-Man there because he's one of the original blah, 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 all the way around.
Yeah.
Black Panther, though, really took a step away from the comedy, which there was still some comedy in this movie, to make it more of a serious toned, a serious level type of movie. And it worked out really well, and I really got a kick out of it and enjoyed it, and it grew on me quite a bit. All the acting was fantastic. The suits looked great. Everything was perfect in this movie. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm really glad that it did as well as it did, because it really showed Black Panther who he is, to add another fantastic hero to the fold. And then obviously Wakanda forever, everyone doing their thing now. overall just really good. And I really enjoyed this movie. And looking very forward to the sequel. Looking forward to see how it turns out in Endgame. May's got to get here fast. That's all I got to say. Really looking forward to that
one. Yeah.
So.
All right. So, my number five.
Five, yes.
Is Paddington 2.
I forgot you have this one on your list.
Yes. Yeah. Because, and again, you know, it kind of comes back to what I was saying about Mary Poppins. It's just, it's such a lighthearted, like, whimsical movie. And I kind of, I love these films where it's like, they're funny and heartwarming, but they appeal to adults just as much as they appeal to children. Okay. And Paddington 2 is one of those movies where it's just like, you can sit and watch it with your kids, but it's just such an endearing film. It's so heartfelt. And it's just like, I just, it kind of makes you feel good when you're watching it, you know? I mean, I don't have a whole lot to say besides the fact that it's just, it's a really well executed film. You kind of get, especially me and, you know, the people I work with and the capacity we are, it's like, you kind of get used to watching these kids' movies that you just like, they're just so bad. You know, it's like you watch some really bad kids' movies at the school. Clank. And
if only we had the podcast back then.
And this one, it's just the exact opposite. Like I was saying about Solo, it's almost like a breath of fresh air in this sea of like just mediocre animated movies. This is like a really well-made movie that I can sit down and enjoy with kids or like with my wife, you know. And it's like, it's just, it's such a well-made movie. It's so endearing and heartwarming and funny, and it just kind of has this like whimsical, you know, like just take a breath and enjoy this movie, you know. Don't worry too much about anything else, just kind of carefree, I guess. Okay. Is a good term. So number five is Paddington 2.
Very good. All right, so my number four is going to be Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
And it's too low.
I know you're gonna talk about this, but my 3, 2, and 1, I think, show a little bit more on it. I loved it. It again, like when I first left the theater, I was like, okay, this could be something. But it's really grown on me. Maybe I should have boosted it up another spot or two. Now that, you know, I think about it after the week that we initially tried to do this. But the big thing that drew me to it was the art style.
Yeah.
I love the art style. The Stan Lee cameo, like he must have known something was going on. The story was great. The characters they introduced was great. There's going to be a sequel after the end credit scene. And then obviously, you know, the two quotes from Stan Lee in there, or the one quote from Stan Lee and the one thank you to Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, who, you know, he helped create Spider-Man, ended up perfectly in this one. And all the actors, the voice actors in this were great. Voice actors and actresses. I got to make sure I get that right. You know, and from start to finish, I thought it was paced well. I thought it looked great. Yeah, I know you're going to talk about it in a minute or two, so fantastic movie. And again, this is what I mean by Sony got a really good end of the deal by allowing Spider-Man, the real-life Spider-Man, to be in the MCU while they could do a movie like this.
Yeah.
So.
All right. My number four is Aquaman, which, again, I feel like I'm going to go back to Solo again, but I feel like this movie was just kind of a breath of fresh air in like an oversaturated market right now. We have so many superhero movies, and so many of them rely on all of the other superhero movies, and everything has to be in canon. Everything just kind of has to, you know, fall into place and work with everything else. And this one, it had its like kind of throwaway lines every once in a while, but for the most part, this one did not really care about being part of the DC universe. It kind of took a step back, and it, you know, again, it wasn't afraid to just kind of have fun. Instead of being, you know, this, like, brooding superhero, like, dealing with becoming Aquaman or dealing with having to rule the seas or anything like that, it became, like, an actual, like, Indiana Jones movie. It was, like, a globe-trotting adventure where they're, like, solving puzzles and, you know, flying to another country to see where the clue sends them and stuff like that. Because they're on the search for this like mythical trident,
right?
And so instead of like worrying too much about like the brooding superhero stuff, it was just like this guy and this girl on like a puzzle adventure. It, like, it, you know, I'm not saying like it kind of felt like Indiana Jones to me. Like, it actually felt like an Indiana Jones movie.
Okay.
The styling of it and just the way they went about it, I'm like, this could easily have fit in with, like, the 80s, like, puzzle adventure films and stuff like that. And I loved that. I thought it was just all sorts of fun. So that one bumped all the way up to number four for me.
See, I liked it. You know, this is definitely the best DCU movie that they produced. But I think some of the lines that they said, like, when it was in the middle of a serious moment, then they just kind of kicked it to the side. And, you know, we talked about it in the review, but, you know, the villain that's most likely going to be the main villain in the next one, how they treated him in this one, I was like, hey, you know, I can't really take you seriously right now, so you better have a lot happen to you in the second one to make you more menacing, I guess. But, you know, overall, I enjoyed this one, too. I mean, it's not in my top 10. There's a spoiler for the last three, but, you know, definitely the best DCU movie I've seen.
Cool.
All right, so my number three is going to be Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet. And the first one, to me, is still better. I know we
got
into a discussion about that one. But this one kind of took a sidestep to do some new things. And the story about this one, the tone that it sets, plus the ending that I'm not going to spoil, is really a coming-of-age thing of, like, you know, sometimes this does happen, but that doesn't mean you have to stop doing something.
Yeah.
Stop whatever. I don't want to spoil it because it's still, I think it's still in theaters, actually. So I don't want to spoil anything for those who haven't
seen it. If you're going to see it in theaters, you need to do it, like, now.
Yes.
But,
granted, I think, a couple months it'll be out on Blu-ray and all that.
Yeah, but I think there's still, like, a showing or two a day.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So I loved it altogether. I thought it was bigger, brighter than the first one, but again, I can't really argue with this one. I know we already reviewed it, so there's not really much more that I can say, but definitely one that left the mark on me. So.
Yeah. Cool, and I'm glad this one made your list.
Absolutely.
All right, my number three is Upgrade.
Okay.
Which, this one kind of flew under the radar a little bit. It only got a limited release in theaters, and it was kind of low budget. It made some of the film circuits and stuff. But it's basically, it's about this guy, him and his wife get mugged, and he ends up paralyzed, his wife ends up dead. And this guy offers to upgrade him, to basically fix him so that he can walk again. And then when he, at first, you know, he refuses, but when he accepts the offer, he learns that the machinery that they've put inside him has like an AI attached to it, and it starts talking to him and communicating with him. And it starts activating its own functions or asking if he wants to activate these functions. And it basically turns him into, like, a crazy ninja master. Okay. He's stronger, and he has, like, amazing reflexes, and he can do all this stuff. And it turns into kind of like a revenge tale about him, like, going and trying to hunt down the guys that mugged him and killed his wife. And I mean, it's a very basic premise. You know, it's not anything that you haven't probably heard before or seen similar before. Because I mentioned this during our Venom review. This was kind of like Venom. The way Venom kind of like takes him over, but then like starts talking to him in his head and makes him like super fast and, you know, ninja style. And that's more or less kind of what happens in Upgrade. But I feel like Upgrade did it so much better than Venom. Venom was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I kind of didn't agree with all the hate it was getting. But it wasn't enough to make my top 10. And Upgrade is just like, Upgrade is everything that I hoped Venom would be. Let me put it that way. If you watched Venom and you were kind of disappointed or you wanted more out of it, I would say give Upgrade a shot. Because that's more or less exactly what I wanted Venom to be.
Okay. So I know you were talking to me about that one before. I haven't had a chance to watch that one either. Is it, you know, it's out of theaters by now, obviously. But if I ever find it, or if it's on Netflix, I'll sit down and watch it because it just looks like something a little different. Like,
yeah,
not the Million Dollar Man. Like, we have the technology, you know,
let's
fix him. So something a little different to kind of maybe a Venom-esque movie that I might enjoy a little
more. It's a lot of fun. I think you'd like it.
All right, so my number two movie should not be a surprise and could also very well be number one, Incredibles 2.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we talked about this one in our review for it already, but waited years for this movie to come out.
Yeah.
And boy, did it not disappoint.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one still has a very soft place in my heart since it was so long ago that it came out. But Disney and Pixar really did a number on this one. They didn't just shoo something out because people wanted it so they could make a bajillion dollars. They really gave us a good movie that they got all the original cast back. I think the only one that might have been different was Dash, I want to say, just because the actor or actress mm-hmm. grew up. But you can't really tell in this one. And
yeah, no, they did really good with the voice really acting. Good.
And, you know, the message at the beginning of the movie with everyone coming out being like, hey, we're sorry this took so long. But, you know, Incredibles 3 better not take this long to come out. But, no, this one was absolutely downright fantastic.
I'm fine with them taking as long as they need to, as long as they keep making them this good.
Yeah, I mean, if they're good and they need an extra year or two, fine. But, I mean, I think this one came out in 2004.
I think it was like a 14-year wait or something like that. 14,
15 years. It's like, that was too long. But we finally got it. It could very well push number one for me. Again, it could be that nostalgic factor that I've talked about in some of my other movies.
Yeah.
But between this one and my number one, it could easily flip-flop. It really honestly could. So
good. I'm glad that one was on there.
Yes.
My number two is Game Night. Game Night is probably the funniest movie I've seen. Like, even more than Deadpool. I just loved the humor in this movie. And I think it's interesting because there are a lot of comedies that come out that are supposed to be hilarious and they get good reviews, and I just don't understand it. You know, I don't know if it's me being out of touch or I don't know. I don't know, you know, why maybe I just don't click with some comedies that come out, the sense of humor in them. But Game Night came out and it was getting reviewed really well. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I won't like it then. But I took a chance on it. There was one day I had some free tickets on my account. And so I went and I think I did two or three movies that day. I just kind of spent the day at the theater. And it was just me, but I went to see Game Night. And it became, like, well, obviously one of my favorite movies of the year. It's very, like, it's a really intelligent thriller in the way it showcases these kind of, like, doofuses who think that they're part of, like, a game night. And they don't really realize that they've become part of an actual, like, bigger conspiracy. Mm-hmm. But it's really intelligently made, and it's really genuinely funny.
Okay.
And, like, I don't have a whole lot to say. It's first and foremost a comedy, mm-hmm. and secondary as a thriller, and it accomplishes both of those in spades. It's just a really genuinely funny, intelligent movie. And I enjoyed it an awful lot. And the acting, Rachel McAdams and Jason Bateman are just great. And the supporting cast is great. I don't really have anything negative to say about it. And obviously, you know how I feel about games, board games and stuff. So it was right up my alley in just about every aspect.
Perfect.
I loved Game Night.
Perfect, perfect. All right, so my number one...
Drum roll.
Oh, yes, right. My number one is... Avengers Infinity War.
What a surprise.
I know. And here's the thing. We've waited 10 years to get up to this point, from 2008 to 2018. And I thought it was done very well. Obviously, we're missing some heroes. We've mentioned... I mean, it's been out long enough. I think I could talk about it. Ant-Man and the Wasp were not in this one. Hawkeye was not in this one. But Hawkeye was in the sequel trailer, Endgame trailer.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there, as was at least Ant-Man. So we'll see what happens with that. But I love this movie, and I'm glad that they actually had a PR stunt where they boosted it up a week, where, you know, Tony Stark said, hey, you know, I think we should see this a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, let's boost it up from the beginning of May to the end of April.
Yeah.
And, you know, I keep seeing all the memes of going back to the Pit of Misery when we last left off with the ending of this one. And I was happy to see Captain Marvel at the end of at the end credits. Again, I'm not spoiling anything as this came out in April, so if you haven't seen it by now, well, I don't know. I'm still hoping, and fingers crossed, because you know how much I love them, is that even if they're just in the background fighting, in some way, shape, or form, you see four superheroes just helping out in some way. See a giant rock fist come in, or maybe some fireballs come in. You see an enemy just getting beaten up, but you don't see who it was. Or maybe you just see an arm just, like, stretch in and punch someone in the face. Mm-hmm. You don't see what it, you know when we see it, the theater's going to be full. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah.
Just know that I may cause a scene if that happens. I'm telling you now, bookmark it if you want.
You cause a scene every time anyway.
Well, yeah, but this one's going to be even more of a scene. So okay. I just want you to know that now.
frightening. Whoa. I might have to not sit with you.
Oh, you will.
Though. I'm going to be sitting like across the way pretending I don't know you.
I will stand up and look for you and say, Tyler, did you see that?
And then I'll be looking around like, Tyler?
Tyler? Who's going to stand up? I adored this one. And obviously, you know, as I sit here and talk about it, it could flip-flop with Incredibles 2, but I just thought that the way that everybody like started mingling with each other, the way that the Guardians of the Galaxy came in, it was done very well. It was different from the comics because, at least in the comic, like, you know, the Guardians knew who some of the heroes were on Earth, and then they were, you know, when they found out, like, Spider-Man was just a kid, they were surprised, but I don't believe they really had any interaction yet with him outside of Star-Lord. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it'll be very interesting to see the sequel and how this one wraps up before they start the next phase of Marvel movies.
Definitely.
So.
And, I mean, there's theories galore. You can find somebody supporting whatever you think pretty much anywhere you go now.
Yes. So.
But we'll have to wait and see how it actually turns out.
And the good news is for the second one is Stan Lee did apparently already film his cameo for that. Mm-hmm. So we'll get at least one more, two more if you count Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
So.
All right. My number one.
I almost forgot your drum roll. I'm sorry. Is...
Into the Spider-Verse.
No kidding.
I love this movie so much. I can't say enough good things about it. I mean, the voice actors, the art style, the story, the humor, just everything about this movie was spot on. It's one of the most top-notch superhero movies in general I've ever seen. And if I'm being honest, I never really thought I would say that about an animated superhero movie.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, Marvel has set the bar really high, and DC has been getting better with, like, Wonder Woman and Aquaman and stuff. And normally, the animated superhero movies are relegated to, like, straight to DVD or straight to streaming services or something like that. You know, it's like, there are a lot of animated superhero movies, but normally those aren't the ones that you write home about. And this is just maybe one of the best superhero movies I have ever seen. And I'm not going to sit here and delve deep into it again because we've got a whole episode just dedicated to us gushing about this movie and how wonderful it is. But it's seriously one of the best movies I've ever seen. One of the few, I think this is probably the first one since we started the podcast that I just straight up said, I want to give this a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I don't think you ever give it a 10 out of 10.
I can't say enough good things about Into the Spider-Verse. It's the best. If you haven't seen it, you really need to before it leaves theaters. And if you don't get the chance, then just pick it up when it's streaming or download it or something. You need to watch this movie. It's one of my favorites. I love this movie so much.
Absolutely. One of the better animated just superhero films in general, whether it be Marvel or DC. Great, all over the place. I'm not going to sit here again because it was on my list. It's on your list. We had a whole review about it.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, if you want to hear us talk more, dive a little bit deeper into it about like the story and the characters and stuff.
Yes.
We've got an episode dedicated to it. You can look that up on our YouTube or on our podcast. Just flip back, you know, a couple episodes.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it just came out earlier in December. This was what, like maybe two episodes ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not too far back, but it's just. It's one of the best experiences you'll have with a superhero movie.
Absolutely. And I think we got a good year of movies coming up for 2019. Mm-hmm. I think the first one, well, I'm going to see it, so I'll probably talk about it on the next episode just for a little bit, is the new Dragon Ball Broly movie coming out.
Okay.
Since Broly will be non-canon now. And then from there, we go right to Captain Marvel, Avengers. Plus, I got to look up a list to see what's coming out. Is we saw a lot of movies this year, obviously. Or we saw a lot of movies this year. We saw a lot of movies last year. We're going to see a lot of movies this year. So I look forward to see what else is coming out and what underrated hits could just kind of come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so.
All right. Well,
I've had enough time to gush about my favorite movies.
Yes. And I made it through the whole podcast, which I'm starting to feel my teeth starting to float a little bit, but I can still talk for a minute. I just look forward to the next year's worth of movies. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, thank you so much for watching both of our top 10 lists for our second time around trying to do this. Hopefully we got it right this time.
Yes.
But we'll be back soon with some more good content for you guys.
Well, some more content.
Yeah, that's right.
True. We can't guarantee it'll be good, but we'll be back.
Content.
Yes, we will be here.
Yes. So, guys, thank you so much, and we'll see you on the next episode.
See ya.
Yeah.